Appreciate that. Would you take your Bibles this morning and open, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to read a few verses here, verse 16 on down, and a few verses here together. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with his grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind." Thank you so much. You may be seated. May God bless us this morning as we look into the Scripture, the Word of God. Would you bow for prayer with me today? Father in heaven, what a joy it is to be able to come and study your Word. Lord, we recognize that always when we go to the Scriptures, Lord, we need your help. We need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our heart to see truth, that truth, Lord, might be understood and applied in our own life as we seek to be sanctified, become more like our Master, our Lord Jesus. Lord, bless us this morning and help me, Lord, to make clear your word for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible uses various metaphors to talk about the Christian life in order to help us understand what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the Bible calls us priests. Did you know that every person who's saved is called a priest of God? Now, unlike the priests of the, we bring the sacrifice of praise. We bring thanksgiving to the Lord. The Apostle Paul said that because of the mercies of God, we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice acceptable to the Lord. The first thing that we give is our own self to the Lord. And then the Bible also says that we are soldiers. Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, you war a good warfare." Many times in Scripture, we're called to spiritual warfare and to fight the good fight of faith. Well, another metaphor that the Bible uses is athletes. Did you know that as a Christian, the Bible compares you to a runner in a race? It's not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews said to run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, another metaphor that is used of the Christian life is that of a steward. Did you know that you are a steward? Now, what is a steward? A steward is basically an estate manager who manages it for another person, the owner, who is normally very, very rich. So a steward is really just a house manager. You're entrusted with someone else's wealth, and you are given the authority to use that wealth and to make decisions that line up with the interest of the owner there. Many times the Apostle Paul uses this word to speak about what we are as Christians. In fact, he said at one time that he was called to be a steward of the mysteries of God. That is, that he's called to handle the Word of God as a pastor. I'm a steward on how I handle the Word of God and give it to you. And all of us are stewards with everything that God has entrusted to us. And here's the thing that we need to understand in this metaphor. God is the owner, and we are simply stewards. We are simply managing things that God already owns. You understand that God owns everything, right? I mean, I talked about that a little bit in last week's sermon, that God is the owner of everything that we already have. David said this in 1 Chronicles 29, 11. He said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." David said, "Lord, everything is yours, all that is in heaven, all that is in the earth, it's already yours." And then David goes on to say in 1 Chronicles 29, 14, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine have we given." You understand that it all already belongs to God. And David is basically saying, Lord, who are we that we are even able or given this opportunity to give back to you something really that is already yours? What a privilege that God would even condescend to allow us to even give to him. And that's the whole point that David is saying, Lord, you already own it all. All this that we give to you is already yours. And the psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Job said in Job 41, verse 11, who has first given to me that I should repay? God asked the question through Job. Anybody I'm supposed to pay back? Do I owe anyone anything? Do I need to repay? Everything belongs to the Lord. And we are simply stewards of all that God has. And we need to understand another principle in this, and that is that one day we will give an account of our stewardship of what God has given to us that is his. We're going to have to answer to the Lord for that one day. And so this is with this thought in mind, we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And if you've been with us in our study, you know that in these two chapters, the Apostle Paul is talking about taking up a special collection for the church in Jerusalem that he might give it to the church in Jerusalem. Now, again, I would just qualify that again, like I did last week, and say, if you're visiting here with us today and you say, man, that preacher, all he talks about is collections and giving, you haven't visited enough, because I preach through the scripture and we're preaching through 2 Corinthians. And there are two chapters where Paul deals specifically with this area of giving and collections and our stewardship of all these things. So I'm simply teaching what the Apostle Paul gave to the church. And if you don't believe the collections are of the Lord, just know this. There are two chapters in the Bible that are dedicated to collections and offerings. And this is what Paul's talking about here. And so, again, this offering was a love offering that was going to be given to impoverished believers in the church in Jerusalem. This would be a blessing to them. This would be an opportunity to show the world the love that exists in the church between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. We're really all one in Christ. There's no distinction in the body of Christ. We're all one. It would be such a blessing. Paul referred to it in Romans chapter 15, verse 26. He said, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And he says in verse 27, it has pleased them verily, and their debtors, they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. And what Paul's saying there is that because of the Jewish people, it was through the Jewish people that we received the gospel. It was through the Jewish people that we received the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are enriched spiritually. And if we have been blessed by their spiritual heritage being passed on to us in the gospel and in Jesus Christ, then it's a small thing that we, a debt that we owe in giving back. When he says carnal things, he's actually talking about material things like gifts and money. It's only right that Paul says the Gentile churches should give this offering to the church in Jerusalem, Jewish believers, because they've been enriched because of their spiritual heritage. And so beginning in chapter 8, Paul talks about this offering, and we already talked about it some, but in verse 16, Paul now is going to talk about practical counsel on how a collection should be made and on how we should be stewards of all that God has given us. And what we see here in this chapter then are principles of stewardship. And what I want you to see here is that it is true that grace giving means giving by faith, but it doesn't mean to give foolishly. In other words, there are certain ministries out there, I say quote-unquote ministries or institutions or enterprises, that are constantly soliciting money from Christian people under the guise of being Christian. And I would propose to you, beloved, that they're not worthy of your contribution. They're not worthy of your giving. You say, why is that? Well, you have to look into that organization and make sure that whatever you give is a worthwhile investment, that they are using those resources for the glory of God, and they're not greedy of gain for themselves. This is the warning that Paul is giving here. And actually, what Paul's doing here, it makes sum of money. If you're taking a collection, not from one church, not from two, not from three, but as we read here in Romans, churches in Macedonia, churches in Achaia, this would be a group of churches. And if you're taking offerings from all of them, you're going to end up with a tidy sum of money. How do we trust people with large sums of money? And what Paul's going to do here is he's going to lay out principles, and he's going to make sure that how he does this in a way that is above board, so that no man can point a finger or blame at Paul and say, you didn't do the right thing with the resources of God that was entrusted to you. Paul's going to give us some principles to make sure that whoever is in charge of taking these resources is a good steward. And all these principles apply to all of us as well. We can apply these to our own life on being good stewards, because again, one day we're going to have to give an account to God for our stewardship. So let me give these to you. What are the qualities of a good steward? First of all, a willingness to serve. Write down a willingness to serve. Look at verse 16 again. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Now, Paul is anticipating criticism here, that people are saying, oh, Paul, this offering is all your idea, and you're probably going to just use it to pad your own pocket. And the first thing that Paul wants to establish to the people is that, look, this wasn't just my idea that we take up this offering to give it to poor believers in Jerusalem. He wanted the people to know it wasn't his project alone, but there was another person who was also involved, someone they knew well, a man by the name of Titus. And Paul says, yeah, I presented the idea, but Titus went above and beyond, because it says here in verse 17, for he was more forward. The word forward there is the idea of being willing. He was more willing. And it uses the word in verse 16. God put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus. Earnest care is one word in the Greek, spoude. It's where we get the word speed. It has the idea of an urgency or a haste to do something. Paul said, look, when I came up with the idea of this offering and giving it to these poor believers, Titus received this idea, and boy, he ran with it. He was earnest about it. He saw the need here. He saw that this was an opportunity to show great love to the believers there in Jerusalem. And so he did it of his own willingness there in verse 17, Paul says. He went above and beyond on his own accord. Paul wasn't forcing Titus to do this. Paul saw a willingness in Titus to be a part of this and to serve in this capacity. This would require a lot of detail, a lot of work, but Titus was willing to do it. And by the way, thank God for people in the church to do menial things, some would consider, and being involved in taking up resources and being accountable to that and recording it. I mean, you think about all the work that it takes to take up an offering. And I heard about a little boy who went to school, and the other little boys were bragging about how much money their father made. And one boy said, you know, my dad does this, he makes this much money. And another boy said, my dad does this, he makes this much money. This little boy was the son of a pastor, and he knew his dad didn't make a whole lot, but he wanted to make his dad look good. And he said, my dad makes so much money, it takes 10 men on Sunday morning to collect all the money that he makes. Well, I just want you to know that not all the money collected here on Sunday morning goes to my pocket, all right? I want you to understand that. It takes a lot of work to collect the money and then to organize it and to put it into the computer, all of that, and to keep it organized, and you get a letter back. And we have a group of men here at the church that do all that work. They don't do it for anything but just for God. They serve the Lord doing that. And they keep a clear account. This group of men that do all of this. And this is what Paul's saying about Titus. He has a willingness to serve, and he does it for the glory of God. And if we're going to be good stewards, we have to have that willingness. But also, number two, a desire for accountability. Says, and we have sent with him in the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And then again in verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace which is administered by us. And so Paul here mentions another man that was involved with the collection of this special offering. He doesn't give the name of the man, but Paul said there's also another man involved with this. And again, he doesn't name him. And a lot of people speculate about who it was, but that's really futile. The whole point is the Corinthians would know who this person was, and this person was a credible person. And the implications of the of Paul's words here is that he was a distinguished preacher of the gospel, and he was involved. Here's another godly leader involved with this project of taking up this offering to give it to the impoverished believers in Jerusalem. And again, Paul is basically saying, look, this is a large sum of money. We need others involved so that there's total accountability to make sure that it's done right. And here's another godly man that you full well know that's also involved with this. And this is in keeping with the New Testament pattern where you remember the church in Jerusalem, in order to help believers, some of them sold property, sold their houses, sold other things, and they took the money and they laid it at the apostles' plural feet so that all of them could give an account of that these resources were done in an honest way. When large sums of money are being handled, it doesn't need to be with just one individual. It needs to be with groups so that there's complete accountability and exactly the way we do it here according to the scripture. And this man was known not just by Paul, but notice again throughout all the church in verse 18. He was appointed by other churches as well. In other words, all these other churches had confidence in this man and they appointed him to do the very same thing. But there's a third quality you need to have, not only a willingness to serve and a desire for accountability, but number three, a love for the gospel. In verse 18, it says, whose praise is in the gospel? Now, again, we don't know who this brother was. Paul knew him. Titus knew him. The churches knew him. But one thing we do know about him, according to verse 18, was that he had a love for the gospel. And that's the thing that we need to remember. That everything that we do here with regard to collecting and receiving and stewarding out, giving out, it all has one ultimate purpose in mind, and that is the gospel would spread. It's because we love lost souls. It's our desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ. This is all part of fulfilling the Great Commission. So all the resources that God entrusts to us, we have to use wisely in a way that's going to get the gospel out. Beloved, we're not a bank. We're not a business. We're a church. And our passion is for people to come to know Jesus Christ, that their soul would be saved, that the kingdom of God would spread for the glory of God. That has to be the foremost thing in our mind. That has to be the central thing. We have to remember this is what we're doing it for. A few months back, I went to Nepal. I went there at their request to come. They had come and visited me first and said, would you please come to our country and help us? Churches are growing in Nepal, a very dark place. I met with the leaders of an association of 13,000 churches while I was there in Nepal. And 50 of the leaders came together and I had a session with them and taught them. And they said, look, we have students. We want them to get an education. We don't want to send them to America. We want you to help us here. And, you know, so we found a way where they can kind of click in online to some of our classes. And from time to time, we can send professors over there to teach them intensive courses there. But they said, look, here are six of our finest leaders, six PhD students. And I looked at them and I met with them. And these are intelligent, godly, passionate young leaders for the gospel. And the whole idea is that they'll start a seminary there when they all get a PhD. They'll start a seminary there, train leaders because there are churches growing up all over Nepal. And they're all kind of bizarre doctrines that are being given there. And you need leaders to teach the word of God, right? So the gospel spread. But the problem is this. You know, the average income in Nepal is $900 a year. That's what people make in Nepal, $900 a year. That's it. You know, none of those students have enough money to get a PhD. None of them do. They just don't have the money. They can barely live. So I said to leaders, I said, look, just tell them to enroll. We'll take them for nothing, and we'll educate them, and we'll make sure that they get a good quality education so the word of God can spread. You say, how are you going to pay for the education of six PhD students? God is going to take care of that for us. The Lord will take care of that. You know, in fact, that whole trip that I went there, I didn't pay for that. There was another church who said to me, if you take this trip, we'll pay your expenses to go to that place that's so needy. And another church paid my expenses to go and visit these people because they wanted to see the gospel spread. All of it is for the purpose of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. If you're going to be a good steward, that has to be in the foremost of your mind, a love for the gospel ministry. And then number four, a passion to honor God. Look at verse number 19, and where it says this, and not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. Why are we doing this? Because we know that this brings glory to God. All the administrative work and the collection of this gift and all the work that comes with it and the giving of it, all of it is because of the glory of God. We want God to be glorified. They knew the Lord would be pleased and the world would see the generosity of the Gentile church giving to this church in Jerusalem and God would be honored. They would see the power of the gospel tearing down man-made barriers and making people one in Christ and loving one another and giving sacrificially. And all that is such a beautiful display of love to the world about the church. And that honors God. That glorifies God. And that's what we want to do. That should be our motive, to glorify God. But then here's number five, quickly, a reputation for honesty. Look at verse 20. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Paul wanted to remove any questions or doubts that people had with regard to his integrity and the honesty of this offering, especially since this was going to be a huge offering. And the word that Paul uses for abundance there in verse 20 is the only time this word is used in the whole New Testament, and it's a word that means a lavish gift. This was going to be a big gift. This was going to be a huge gift. And Paul wanted to make sure this was done totally above board and that there'd be no question. So he welcomed any scrutiny. He welcomed anyone who wanted to be a part of this for accountability. I like the way that J.B. Phillips translates 2 Corinthians 8:21. Listen to the way he translated it. Naturally, we want to avoid the slightest breath of criticism in the distribution of their gifts and to be absolutely above board, not only in the sight of God, but in the eyes of men. Paul wanted to make sure that he was doing the right thing before God, who sees all things, but also that others who are watching would also know that this is done completely honest, with accountability, with integrity, with credibility. Someone might say, well, what is Paul worried about? I thought Paul wasn't a man pleaser. Well, when it comes to preaching the gospel, he's not. When it comes to doing things in a way where it's honest with integrity, he wants to make sure that he does it in a way that is done right without any question. The Bible says in Romans 12, 17, Paul said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then in Romans 14, 16, he said this, let not your good be evil spoken of. It's not enough to say, well, we're doing this in the sight of God. Yeah, but you need to make sure that others see that it's done honestly as well. So there's just no question. Again, in verse 22, where Paul says, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. To provide further accountability, Paul sent Titus, an unnamed preacher, and now here's another unnamed person that's also included in. He added another person to this financial committee that he's assembling together. Here's another person, and this person also is someone who in verse 22 has proved diligent. The word prove here from the Greek word dokimazo, tested and found to be qualified. Here's a person who has proven character. He's been tested. He's a man who's trustworthy. All these men are coming together to give this offering. Look at verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner. Paul says, you had any question about Titus, I can vouch for him. He's my partner and my fellow helper. Concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. They are messengers of the churches and of the glory of God. If you have any question about any of these guys that are helping out on this, you feel free to inquire about them. But just know this, they were all approved of all the churches. They've all been people who are qualified and honest people that are doing with this. So what's Paul doing? He's making sure to be totally accountable, above board, in all of what is happening here. And Paul summarizes the committee in verse 23 here. And in essence, he's saying, I can vouch for all of these men. They're all good men. Totally honest, totally accountable. One person wrote this, and I agree. Personally, I would not support a missionary or a church worker who was not identified in some way with a reputable committee or board or a reputable organization, nor would I give support to any ministry that did not have its books audited and report the availability to donors. In other words, we need to make sure that there's that total accountability. And I agree with that. I agree with that. Just this year, we had, and this is just for your information as a church, we had all of our finances audited here at Grace Bible Baptist Church. The outside independent auditor audited all the finances here. And I'll just tell you this, and when I say this, I'm bragging on our men here that do all this work in our church. The CPA, the outside CPA who did the books, said, this is the most well-done, organized finances in a church that I've ever seen in my life. That's what he said about the finances here at Grace. And again, this is an outside auditor who's looked at it, and he said, you know, you guys are doing a great, great job. And again, that's not bragging on me, because I can barely add together. I often told you I get allowance from my wife if I'm good. That's all I know about money. But these men here who do all the Lord with such integrity, and it's according to what the Scripture says. And here's one final qualification that I would give you. There has to be a willingness to serve, a desire for accountability, a love for the gospel, a passion to honor God, a reputation for honesty. But here's the last thing, a spirit of charity. A spirit of love that just wants to give. Verse 24, wherefore show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Here Paul's talking to the Corinthians. He says, okay, now it's time. It's time for you to give it, make a part of this, put your money in so that we could, together with this committee of qualified people, could take this offering and we can give it to the believers in Jerusalem and we could show the proof, the demonstration of your love and your charity. That brings honor to the Lord. And so let me just say in closing, I'm grateful to our church because you all have done this so many times when we've had missionaries come in. You've been so generous, and you're generous still. And I want you to know that we endeavor before God to be good stewards of whatever God has entrusted us. And the principle is for all of us. Listen, we can't take anything to heaven with us, but we can send stuff ahead. And we can do that in a way by being good stewards of what God has given to us. We can lay up treasure in heaven. We can see souls come to know Jesus in heaven, a host of souls that will be waiting there for us in heaven that got there because we were good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Let's bow for prayer together. Father, again, we thank you for how practical your word is and how, Lord, you are the owner of all things. And we are simply stewards of what you entrust to us. And so, Lord, help us to be good stewards. Help us, Lord, to realize that this is only for a time. We have a little bit of time here that you've given us. And things that you've entrusted us with, and Lord, one day we'll have to give an account. And so, Lord, may we be focused on the kingdom. As our Lord Jesus taught us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you, will be taken care of. And Lord, I pray for every soul that's here today, I pray that they would have a kingdom first heart. And Lord, if there's someone here today that has never trusted Christ as Savior, that today they would come to know Jesus Christ. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, before we are dismissed again in prayer, I just want to throw out an invitation. I want to throw out a lifeline. If you happen to be here today, you've heard a sermon that really I primarily preached to the church about being good stewards of what God has given us, because this is what the Word of God teaches us. But I want you to know the reason for that is so that you can come to know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners like me and sinners like you, so that we could have eternal life in heaven. When we come and place our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he did for us in dying for us. And friend, if you're here and you've never put your faith in Christ, would you please right now, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Would you just right there where you are, would you just reach out in prayer? If you want Christ, just say this and mean it in your heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. I put my faith in what Christ has done for me on the cross. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All my hope is in Christ. Save me. And if you pray that and reach out in faith, he'll save you. The Bible says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And friend, if that's your prayer, we want to meet you right here. We'll have some men here in the front after the service. Come and let us know. We want to encourage you in your Christian walk. Father, bless your word to every hearing heart today. We pray in Jesus' name.